Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks, 4341790. Nothing for Wesley. That's why he is getting an aneurysm. Peter, you are Wesley again. Wesley, oh dear, mindless drivel. Like, I don't know, boy. They love to hate Wesley. And then someone tells me that they really like to hear his contributions on Calypso, and I agree entirely. So I do hope that Wesley's next intervention is with regard to Calypso, because that's a matter about which he knows quite a bit, and I think there is an acceptance of the fact that he does. Dr. Brastax, good morning.
Mr. Beckham?
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
I'm good. This is Caswell Franklin.
Hey, Caswell. How are you going? It's good to hear you, man.
But I didn't think so, because
another man they love to hate.
I was holding on from 10 o'clock, and I didn't like to hear me, the people that put me through a little earlier.
But you done said that you ain't got nothing you want to do, that you want sitting down, so...
No, that was...
That was then?
That was then.
Okay.
Me and Snow.
You and Snow. I feel honored to be able to speak to you, though, sir.
Well, thank you very much, but I don't know why you would think that.
The man that carries the weight of the opposition on his entire shoulders.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
This boss plan. Mm-hmm. I just want to call and to let people know what their rights are, because I'm walking, and you know, I'm doing a little walking to keep fit, and mm-hmm. people are stopping me during my walk to ask me about this thing. And I'm not talking about one or two, you know. So I think if I tell you on the program that more people here and everybody get less interruptions in my... Am I walking?
I appreciate that. Go right ahead, sir.
The act at section 14, it says, every month or other pay period, a bond will be issued in the name of every public officer. No mm-hmm. problem with that at all. They will issue a bond in every public officer. Then it says, every public officer who wishes to receive his bond, this is subsection 2, shall so indicate in writing in the form approved by the minister. Subsection 3 goes on. Every public officer who does not wish to receive his bond allocation shall so indicate in writing in the form approved by the minister. But listen to this one. This is the best one of all. It says, subsection 4, 14.4, for the avoidance of doubt and in the interest of clarity, where a public officer fails or refuses to indicate in writing whether he wishes to receive a bond allocation or not, he shall be deemed to have chosen to receive his bond allocation in cash. Put simply, if you do not return the form, they will take it that you want your full salary in cash. Full stop. That is fair. All right?
What you just said?
If you do not
The second part.
I said that is fair.
Could you say that again for the purposes of clarity?
Could there. And in the interest and in the avoidance of doubt.
That is fair.
Yeah.
So did I hear you correctly that you said that there was an aspect of this boss program that is fair?
Yes, I did.
Which is the fact that a person who does not respond is assumed to have won all the money in cash.
Yes, that is
fair. And that is fair.
And that is the legal position that I was campaigning for.
Michelle, has this been recorded or has any part of this been cut? No, she shakes her head. So the public has heard Mr. Senator Caswell Franklin, Senator for the opposition, PDP, state clearly that the fact that persons have the option to decline, and if the persons don't respond, it is assumed to be declined, and he thinks that is fair.
That is the law.
That has always been the law. Okay, no
that
problem. We can carry on.
Of doubt and in the interest of clarity, because a lot of people were saying that if you don't sign, they will just issue the bond and take out your money nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
That is not the case, and I want every public officer who is not interested in these bonds to be aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
They go on at section 14 to say, notwithstanding any enactment, section 15, sorry, not any enactment to the contrary, for the purposes of this act, a portion of a public officer's emoluments may be paid in bonds with the consent of the public officer. That is what I've been saying from the day one when they were talking about the 4-7, the national meeting turn. It is now reduced into writing and passed into law. So the people in this country now, and the public service in particular, should be aware that this cannot be, and it can never be legal in Barbados to just take up your money. Because the Constitution of Barbados says if you take up a person's property, you gotta compensate them. The compensation that the courts know in Barbados is money. So So if you take out money, you've got to give people money. So it's going to be impossible to take out some person's money without their consent. Mm. But a lot of people are not aware of this. A lot of people are afraid. So there's no need to be afraid. If you do not want the bond, just keep the form, throw it away, put it in the garbage or whatever, and that is the end of the matter for you. I hope I've made myself clear.
Okay.
All right?
At the end of it all, though, it sounds to me that you support, even though you oppose the concept, that you support the approach to a large extent.
I
paraphrase you incorrectly?
No, I don't support the whole issue.
Right, you oppose the concept, but you support the implementation to a large extent.
In the end. What, after all this noise that I was making, I finally got my way. And
Is it that you got your way, Caswell, or is it that the reality of how it has been presented reflects the fact that it could have been that way all the time, but you only just realized?
No, it wasn't that way all the time.
Oh, okay.
The 4-7 was exactly that. 4-7 without your consent.
So
whether you like it or not.
We have to thank you for your intervention and protestations on the matter that it is now this way.
I don't require thanks. I don't even require acknowledgement. Mm. I just want people to do the right thing. Mm. If the government, when I go out to the Senate and the government does the right thing, I get up and say so.
Mm.
When they do the wrong thing, I will say so as well.
Have there been any occasions that you've said that, though? Because I don't recall.
Several times.
Okay.
And you should hear the government keeping so much fuss when they say, well, I support this bill, I support this. I mean, they're thinking this is the second coming.
Somebody's asking me here, second coming is an interesting concept, but anyhow. Someone is asking me here, if I can ask Senator Franklin, if severance was extended by 9 weeks, is it fair to extend unemployment by 9 weeks also?
Severance has not been extended by 9 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
The period to qualify for severance has been extended by 9 weeks.
Okay.
The unemployment benefit, because you're not going, severance payment is a lump sum payment, so it is not a question of getting it extended by 9 weeks. Unemployment benefits is for 26 weeks. What the government did not understand, or what the people who were pushing the government to make this amendment did not realize, I believe they didn't read the act carefully enough. This was an unnecessary piece of legislation. The servants, under the law as it stood prior to the passing of this amendment, if you were laid off or kept on short time for 13 weeks, you had the right to claim severance pay. How you do that?
Mm-hmm.
You write to your employer and say you are terminating your services and I want my money because I can't survive like this, whatever. The act says in whatever terms you use. But you must get across the idea to the employer that I'm done with that and I want my money.
Okay. I have another note here for you. Good morning, Peter. I'm so happy to hear Caswell explaining the law as it relates to the BOSS program, in addition to hearing him saying that it is fair that a person that is not interested in being part of the program will not be bullied into doing so. I don't usually hear that word fair coming from Caswell, and I'm certainly delighted to hear him speak in such language today. Any comments, sir?
I never talk about people being bullied. You hear me say so just now? I just said that Section 14.4 has just restated what the law is.
Mm-hmm.
And what they were doing before, what they were planning to do before, was contrary to this.
Okay.
So they had to put this in place. And I said, having done so, that is fair.
All right. Well, I mean, I appreciate.
Let me finish with the severance thing.
Okay.
Now, if you claim your severance pay, your employer can pay
terminate.
You.
Mm-hmm.
Or he can say, I do not have any money to pay you. So I contribute to the severance fund at National Insurance. So every employer does, actually, who pays National Insurance contribution. So you can go there and they will pay you if they think you qualify. The officers at National Insurance will send the application to the employer and say, well, John Brown has applied for
severance
pay. Are you going to contest this application or not? If you say no, you still have to go before a tribunal.
Mm-hmm.
the tribunal takes information from you to determine if you qualify. If you, the employer says you're going to contest it, you have a case, like how you have a case in court. One side puts this case, the other side defends. But in this case, now you have a person who resigns and claims severance.
Mm-hmm.
Those cases are backlogged for at least 4 years.
Okay.
So why would you resign from your job
and then claim severance?
4 years to get a hearing before the severance permanent tribunal? As a matter of fact, I have cases going back to 2012 that have not been heard yet.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you would be silly, and I would not advise anybody who is expecting to go back to work, because I do not expect that the hotels will be up and running in another 9 weeks. So what will they do? Go back to Parliament and extend the time again and again and again till they think the hotels can afford it?
Okay.
No, the hotels don't have to afford it.
Mm-hmm.
National Insurance has by law to pay you when they're determined by the tribunal that you are entitled to receive that money.
Mm-hmm.
But the case takes, right now they're running 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So you can sit down home about 4 years to get a case. When the employer now is up and running, you have already resigned, so you can't come back to work.
Right.
So you're shooting yourself in the foot.
One last question that is something which comes up from time to time. People employ domestics, either full-time or part-time, and pay national insurance contributions for them. Because of the current situation, you are now forced to terminate that domestic, but you are not in a position to pay severance. How is that matter dealt with by the severance payments fund?
If you are terminated because of the
economic adversity,
because of this thing, you can claim your severance pay
From national insurance and not from
the employer first. Mm-hmm. The employer would then have to indicate, I don't have the money to pay you, so then you will go to national insurance.
Okay.
Now, if you go to national insurance, the same procedure.
Mm-hmm.
The employer is written, say, your former employee has claimed severance pay. How say you?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you will say, I'm not contesting it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
You're not contesting it, but you can't pay.
But you can't pay.
Right, okay.
Mind you, national insurance will pay.
Mm-hmm.
And then they will seek to get it back from you over an extended period of time. So you will then have whatever, however long national insurance gives you.
Mm-hmm.
To pay in, so you will still pay, but you wouldn't have to meet that requirement, that payment, and a lump sum one time.
Okay.
And that is
okay.
It's our system, right. You know. So that's why I'm saying that this rush to Parliament to get an extension was totally unnecessary. But some people are able to have the government's ear, and they make certain requests.
And these requests are met.
Yeah, these requests are met urgently.
But you have people's ears too, you know, Caswell. Don't think that people don't listen to you. You have you have the distinguished honor of being one of the most listened to persons in Parliament. No, because you're the only person in Parliament saying anything opposed to the status quo, and saying it in a way that it captures people's interest. So you also have the ear of many. Don't worry.
You must blame my master at school, Mr. Roach.
Where you went to school?
I went to Common Mayor.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You have
my sympathy and condolences.
When I was in third form, he said to me, when you are communicating with people, you have to speak that they will understand. When you speak all these big words and things, two or three people can understand you.
Mm.
When you speak normally, everybody will understand you. So that's what I endeavor to do. I try to speak that everyone from the top to the bottom can understand what I'm saying.
Well done. I mean,
that's all it is.
Notwithstanding the fact that you didn't go to foundation, you still seem to have...
The learning
seemed to have carried you a little way in life.
That would have been too far. I was going to say, I was going to catch two buses.
You had to catch two buses, Caswell. He was from the same area, and I used to catch two buses very, very easily. In those days, it was easier, of course, to catch two buses than it is now. Okay, now that is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Caswell, I want to thank you, though, for calling and being frank and honest. You know, all jokes aside, I appreciate the fact that you called and put your position on the table. Someone else is asking a question of you, but it's a question that I can respond to based on what you've said. Okay, so thanks a lot for calling. The WhatsApper is asking if public workers have to opt into or out of the BOSS program, or is no action deemed as opting out? My understanding from Caswell is that no action is deemed as opting out. Okay, so that's it. Don DeBrastocks, good morning.
Hey, good morning,
sir. Morning, sir. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Good. This is Mr. P.
Yeah. I have special interest in Leslie's conversation, right? And I'm very serious about this. Because it's full of being. I've often heard Leslie refer to me on the program as his friend. Based on what I heard this morning, Wesley isn't and will never be my friend. And this has got nothing to do with which party he supports. Everybody have a party of their choice. Everybody have their right. But and I'm going to make sure that I take a segment tonight on my phone because I'm never, ever going to forget it. The second thing is, I heard it being mentioned that I've been converted to Peter Tosh from Bar Marty. I never said that. I would never, ever, not even my life dependent on it, stop listening to Bar Marty's music and having him as my number one. That is real, my real.
But can you not have both?
No, I don't want both. I don't want both. You see, Bob just wasn't about music. People need to listen to his interviews also. And you never stop learning. I was watching the tape the other day. I didn't even know that he opened his house to disadvantaged children where they can come up with the light to help them.
So it was a veritable feeding program.
That was part of it.
Yeah.
But trying to bring, this man was more than a magician. I mean, even a man could have gone publicly and said that if his life is for his own security, then he don't want it. His life is for people. Right? He told his mother when he was 40 years of age that he's going to get killed at age 36. An assassination attempt was made on his life. He still meant to perform. Right? I am not against anybody who wants to live who they like, but don't try to force the beliefs on me. It ain't going to work. I have a mind of my own. Yes, you can advise me, but in the end, I have to make my decision, and I have made my decision long ago, and it will never, ever change. Never. No. I would have thought that when you criticize anything, that you will look to do better. Now, I heard recently that Keith Rowland in Trinidad had a 33-member cabinet. He got rid of 10. If my memory serves me correct, Barbados is much smaller than Trinidad. I spoke to someone this morning about England. They have 24, and a population of 6 million people. I want to know, why do we need a cabinet of 26 ministers? I heard criticisms of being about nepotism. And Maya, at the time, the criticisms were just because we didn't need a 17 ministers. I've heard about nepotism. And now I'm seeing it becoming rampant here. I am sick and tired of this BD foolishness. Apparently, the only thing they ever agreed on is about not having a third party. And there's no way they don't want a third party. I've heard you say that a third party can't work. How do we know that if we don't get somebody a chance? How do we know it? Me, we are going to go over with this seesaw, back and forth, nonsense all the time. Because all it is like you're vomiting and eating your own vomit.
We disgusting about concept.
We both about our education and our educational system. But you know what I don't hear anybody boss about? Our common sense. We allow politicians to get in our minds and divide us and turn us stupid. I hear people I mean, when they talk about these things publicly, anybody overhear me don't want to kill me, you know. They want you to do. Not one minister have been touched. Not one. None. These kind of things, where is the common sense? Forget about party loyalty and criticize what is wrong. If you really love the party that you are a member of, whether D or B, criticize them when they're wrong. I heard talk about workload. What workload? Is the other people that does the work. A minister hardly does anything other than go in parliament and talk a lot of nonsense. That's what all of them does.
Hey. Mr. Piwiga Hadarendo, all right? You were making another point? You want to make another point?
I will let you two wear your quarters come on the radio and make the grammar mistake. One did it last Friday, and they can take note of him especially. And this was said at 11:55 a.m. Did he not told you that? That's not correct to you. And this is not the first time, and I intend
That's not my role, Mr. P.
Huh?
That's not my role. That's Sandy's role.
Well, right?
That's not my role.
I got a little dairy here. They plan that every time that on.
But you had it right. Don't mind my mistakes too, because I often fall short in the glory in that regard. So. No problem. But I don't. That ain't for me. That's for Sandy to do. That's not me. All right, sir. Mr. P, thanks a lot for calling. It was good chatting with you. This is Down to Brass Tacks, 434-1790. Peter, I agree with your opening comments that there should be no need for consultation in the removal of Nelson's statue. I think that the talk of consultation by the PM is merely to appease white folk in Barbados. Peter, I also recall after the government changed the arrangement from forced saving to optional bonds, there was a period when Caswell was still saying it was illegal. I'm glad to know that he finally accepted that it is fair and legal. Peter, you are allowing Mr. P to talk too much. Down to Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Peter.
Hey, morning, how are you doing?
Fine, morning, how are you?
Good.
Two things I want to talk about. I want to talk about the statue, the issue of the removal of Nelson's statue, and I might have some remarks which I believe will surprise and shock you. But before that, I'd like to just reflect on your first caller last Friday, Mr. Cotterwilder, I think it's his name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. I'd like to commend him for his style of presentation and delivery last Friday. He was smooth, he was coherent, he was structured, well-prepared, even well-rehearsed. But I felt he fell short in my mind for his content, because it was merely a repetition of the well-trotted out party position on the matter. I would expect that for the youthful stage that you have some particular insight that reflects a different thinking of youth, and that I learned something as to how the youth are thinking on this issue. That's why I look forward to listening, hearing younger people speak and present, bring me something different that because of my age and experience I wouldn't have thought of. And I thought that I would have hoped that in his presentation he would have given me that kind of insight, that kind of value as to how people of his age group are thinking differently. But instead, all I got was a recitation of the party mantra, the talking points. As a matter of fact, except for the fact that he was smoother, more sophisticated, angry, and more verbose, I almost thought he was listening to Stats Man, who is a faithful repetition of what the party stands for. And that and whatnot. So, and I blame you for that, because I felt that you, especially as a youngster in public life, speaking in public life and speaking out of it, I thought you would just challenge him. As a former lecturer and an educator, I thought you should challenge him to develop, explain, whatever, rather than just have this virtual free run on it. That's just my take on it. But I thought it was useful presentation. He definitely has skills and abilities and whatnot. I would just like to suggest that in time, that in future, he be more broad, he much more broader in his presentation, not just stick to the faithful party thing. My other comment though on the once again controversial issue about the future of national statue was to say that I am fully with the Prime Minister on this issue. I thought that you would appreciate it, Peter, probably for your own personal feelings. You know that public, you said she has tremendous public capital and public support. But you know public opinion is never static and stationary. It doesn't always stay 90%, 100%, 50%. It is always fluctuates, it moves and goes. And because of the longevity of the national statue controversy, I think it makes sense to get a read of the situation and read up of it as it currently is and do not depend even on the last analysis, the last survey, the last finding, because Barbados has changed since then. And people who would have supported it might have been more supportive or less. In other words, what we have seen Barbados evolve on marijuana, we've seen it evolve on homosexuality, and I'm sure there would have been some evolution one way or the other on Nelson statue. And you have to understand, I know you're a political scientist, I know you're a practitioner in polling and evaluating public opinion, but you know that politics is about the art of the possible. And therefore, the Prime Minister is an experienced enough politician to know that you cannot assume that what obtained a few years ago obtains today. And you have to see what is practical now, what is doable now, what is achievable now. And the fact is that time is also important. It is clear that Nelson statue is a divisive issue. Do we want that divisive issue in Barbados at this time have to grab when we are dealing with much more substantial issue of the future of Barbados economy and the redevelopment of the economy, resuscitation of various sectors, et cetera. Plus, I like saying it because the Prime Minister, I would have been part of the old regime that had a particular position of placing it in the museum. So I'm saying that it makes good sense not to bring that divisive issue, to color the issue, to distract people from the real focus of what needs to be done in the country. And in that regard, she has my full support, and I agree with it because, like I said, people have substantial support, but they don't have endless and bottomless support, and therefore one has to check your timing, when it's done, how it's done. It's a different issue. You cannot just go walk into it blindly because of your particular personal position on it.
All right, two things. The Cotswolder issue. I like the youngster. I find his contribution and the way in which he presents refreshing. I saw no reason why I should engage him regarding issues of substance, largely because I thought that the fact that he called on the program period and he offered such well-presented thoughts was something that ought to be encouraged. There will be a lot of time for him to develop substance and substantive positions and so on. But I really had no difficulty with the presentation, and that's why he was on for so long. Many people messaged me while he was on saying that they thought that I was not engaging with Tallboy and Wesley and Mr. P and so on and yourself. And engaging with him for an extended period of time was a refreshing change. And I thought it was refreshing change as well. And that's the reason why I had him on that long. Could I have challenged him to be more substantive? I probably could have. But I didn't, largely because I didn't think that the substance was lacking to the largest part. But at the same time...
Was it that you were largely in agreement with what he was saying?
But we would get to that. Hold on. I didn't think that the substance was lacking in for the largest part. And secondly, I also believe that at his age, he will have ample time to develop substance. I mean, I think when I was at the University of the West Indies, that was a period in which my philosophical views and opinions started to get fleshed out. He just started. The other point that you were making about public opinion is that, I have often spoken about my idea about the limits of public opinion, and I've always said to people that even though I understand how public opinion works, I also understand that there are times when one cannot wait for the public to support a particular position to move in that direction. I did a poll around the time that the conversation was going on nationally, and you do realize that there was substantial opposition to removal of Nelson. I do not believe that substantial opposition to removal of Nelson is going to change. But at the same time, I don't believe that should stand in the way of a government's moving Nelson. And I always tell people, There was no time in history when a public opinion poll was taken on slavery, to the best of my knowledge. But if there were a public opinion poll taken, if a public opinion poll were taken during slavery about the ending of slavery, certainly the persons who mattered, which were individual voters at the time, would have probably have all opposed it because it meant that their property was being threatened. And you may very well even have found some slaves themselves that would have opposed slavery. So there are issues, for example, the death penalty, where I am not under delusion that any point in time will come soon in the history of Barbados where a majority of people oppose the death penalty, but we don't hang people. And we don't hang people simply because I think that the decision makers, while they are afraid to deal substantively with the matter of capital punishment, appreciate that there's something fundamentally wrong with lynching people. So I'm just saying to you that you have to be careful the extent to which you assume that an opinion of the public is critical to make important and progressive decisions.
But I
think that the Prime Minister is probably smiling to hear that she has finally done something that sits well with you. And I think for that, I am happy, and she is probably happier to hear that she has finally met with your approval and satisfaction. But having said that, Glenn, I'm sorry. I am completely and totally in disagreement with you on this matter, because I'm going to ask, at what point in time will we stop having this conversation?
Can I have a few words?
Yeah, I know. You can have the final word.
Yeah, okay. First of all, I thought it was invidious. I don't think it was intellectually fair and right to compare slavery and the era of slavery with now. Totally different eras. I'm talking about public opinion. But public opinion then would have been a product of the society at that time, which would have produced slavery, supported slavery, institutionalized slavery. I don't think we know we're supposed to live in, as you would say, a more progressive era, a more
enlightened penalty, then.
Era. The death penalty? I think society reserved the right to determine what penalties it will impose from time to time.
But then why don't we hang people?
And I don't think because they're legalistic issues that are about us. But I don't think that we should ever think that the tyranny, the majority. The tyranny of the majority should not be imposed just because you have it. I think democracy should always be prevailed. It might be unheld. It might be uncomfortable. It might be inefficient. But democracy should always be prevailed. You should not just assume because you have the majority behind your belt. Sometimes you have a substantial majority of 30 seats. That whatever happens, you do is right. And then on the other thing, when I say things, I don't do it to please you or to please the Prime Minister. I say it because that's why you
know that
it don't work out.
Indeed, right? It's to displease.
But you've never heard me say it. I don't say things because I like somebody. I don't say anything in the point because I don't dislike. Like you currently do. You always say, I've never heard idea what the person says or what they do and how I evaluate. It doesn't matter why I like them or not, or whether they like me or not. All right, have a good day.
All right, take care. Good chatting with you. We take a break and come right back. Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks, 434-1790. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
They're not too bad.
Okay, fine.
Good to hear you.
You too. Mm-hmm. It's so refreshing to hear the last caller feeling good about something Prime Minister Motley. I like to say Prime Minister Motley has done. I would like to hear, I'm going to be feeling better when he gets even mention her name, Prime Minister Motley. I'm glad to hear him. I'm also glad to hear Senator Franklin as well make another U-turn, because I find that since he became a senator, he's making a lot of U-turns. I don't know how he said this is what he was saying from the beginning. I don't think so at all. Even the 29th of May, he and one of his party colleagues, Mr. Weatherhead, they gave their thumbs down to the boss program. All along, I mean, I'm finding it quite strange with these political parties in Barbados. I don't know, understand how a country could go through a crisis, a worldwide pandemic, and they're trying to seek political mileage out of it. You know, there's the patriotism. Now, all of them. Now, the last one, the last issue I got with them is with the same boss program. You know, the same boss, how it's a cut. I am sure that I heard Mr. Council, and most of them were critical, were saying it was a wages cut. Lo and behold, on the night in the Senate, when the Senate wrapped up, he's the only body in the Senate that voted against the same boss program, but he said no, he's praising it here now. His fellow colleague, the senator, his other senator, PDP senator, she voted for the program. Mr. Ali voted against it. This is about his 10th time that different members in the PDP voted for something differently, voted differently. But I don't understand how, you know, one of the biggest surprises I got some couple of weeks ago when it was Professor Howard, Mr. Bobby Morris, and Dr. Don Marshall, when they came out, they're all critical of the boss program, saying that it was a cut. It was a salary cut. And I know for sure it was a salary cut. You had to go and change the Constitution in order to get a salary cut. Because when Mr. Arthur changed the Constitution, then Arthur signed it for that cut, the people 8% salary, 50% severance payment. Mr. Arthur went to Parliament and said you can't just really nearly cut the civil service salaries, but to the disadvantage, in fact, to their disadvantage. And I am so proud to hear Mr. Calhoun just saying that he was preaching that ever since. And he also said he wasn't a cut in the Senate. So I'm glad about that. Where were Mr. Bobby Morris, and particularly Mr. Bobby Morris? He was to be the last person talking about public service salaries being cut. In 1991, they had about four trade unionists, but Mr. Morris and three others were in the Parliament. When the civil service salary came up, then the same thing came up for the salary cut, 8% wage cut. Now, all of them abstained from the vote. You understand? All of them abstained from the vote. So Mrs. Bob Marsh should not be talking now, but they had their opportunity. They were there at the time. In 1991, right, there was a abolish plan to deduct, to bring up a 10% public sector workers to deduct 7% from their salaries. That was a plan that they were bringing up, right? And it was supposed to last for 10 years, and they would only get back 5% in the last 5 years. So I don't understand how no them talking about this plan. In 1991, one was abolished, and they were only giving the people 5% in the last five of the 10 years. In 1990, the government, there was a salary grade in the civil service, whereby senior civil employees received $33 million. MPs also received increases. Therefore, when the salary cut came, they really didn't have any cut. They really didn't have any cut, right? You know what I mean? So I don't understand where Mr. Bobby Morris and then they keep it so much noise. And finally, today.
But did I hear Bobby Morris on the matter? I didn't hear Bobby on this matter yet?
Yes, he was in the paper couple of weeks ago.
Fair enough.
Professor Howard and Dr. Don Marshall. You know? Mm-hmm. So these guys are spending tough and mud. They're spending tough and mud, man. So that's all if I got a little thing, I'm very, very glad to see. Let me praise the government one more time and the COVID people for the excellent job that they're doing. Now, today is about 98 days since we had the first case of the COVID. So the first two cases of the COVID. Now, they do several tests, but I deduct all the ones because they did some tests for the cruise ship passengers and 33 Trinidadians, about 427. So I deduct them in order to get the real, real, real picture of what's happening. So when you deduct them, it's come to 7,013 tests. That was done, right? You got the 97 deaths. So that you get about 1.3% for every test that they're done. This is excellent. It's coming down, but probably 20 days or so. You should get down to one or just under one. You have 7.2%. The people that went on there, they called it 7 deaths. Then 5 on isolation. Mm-hmm. 85 people recovered. That is about 87.6%. That is recovery rate. And we have virtually tested about 2.5% percentage of our population. Also, another way. And this is about 52 days since we had a death. Yes. Well,
so you believe congratulations are in order?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Well, thank you so much, Statsman, for bringing your perspective. I certainly agree with you that I'm happy that we have gotten past the stage where the COVID is a critical problem. It seems as though most of the recent infections we have imported, once we can deal with those questions of importation of illness, you know, we should be able to get back on track. So again, thank you so much. Down to Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Regan.
Morning, sir. How are you doing?
Yes, I want to know. I would like to know.
Mm-hmm.
Would the government promise he the taxi man that you get?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know.
I know. But this man don't like people that are in power at all. You realize that?
But I don't know, you know. But sir.
Man, Mr.
Speak to what he said that you find objectionable.
Pardon?
Speak to what he said that you find objectionable on this occasion.
I find objection to everything because the last government was in power. He was against it. And now this fellow's getting it. He against him too. Why?
Opposition politics. He may have a lot in common with Caswell.
I hear you say that he apologized to Mrs. Stroh. What are you apologizing to Mrs. Stroh for?
Hello? I don't know, sir.
I'm Wesley. Mm-hmm. Because you want a little something too, but I think it's coming. It's taking too long to come, right? And no, you're talking about Black Lives Matter. Black Lives only matters when a white policeman or a white man kill you.
Mm-hmm.
We had a black policeman here. Then around, he would have got killed too. You realize that?
Yeah, I raised that point last week that we had an issue in Barbados where a policeman off duty shot an individual in his back.
Right.
And in the way that within days, that man who did the shooting was charged, the policeman was charged with murder.
And the body of March.
In the case of Barbados, the individual went back to work the next morning.
That's right.
Yeah, I reported for duty, and it took the better part of a month to actually get the individual charged with something. So he is charged now, but he's on bail.
Nelson moving out too. Better to move Nelson, better to throw Nelson. I want to know where these fellas that talked last night did. Everyone was still alive. Everyone was alive.
I don't understand what you're saying, sir.
Yeah, because...
You said when the turn around, Nelson, you want to know where what?
Where this fellow was last night. The fellow that was talking last night on the program.
But the question of Nelson's turning around or his movement wasn't open for public conversation. I remember when the announcement was made that it was being done, we were just told that it's being moved. The announcement was made on Friday, and it was moved on Sunday.
But the fellas knows all about what I'm talking about before.
Mm-hmm.
And they only got to know. I think they've only got certain government to pressure.
Mm-hmm.
I hear a lot of nonsense last night. They're talking about Nelson got to move, but this says it, says it. That's being nonsense.
What is your opinion? You think Nelson should stay where he is?
I come along and see that you should stay there all the time. You hear bugging me?
There were a lot of things you came along and see that might not be humbugging you, but should move.
So then they know all the time that when they turn around that you should move?
Obviously not.
Ma, they didn't know.
They obviously didn't know. It was different.
Especially
people.
Especially Mr. Clark.
So your views on Nelson's presence are predicated solely on the fact that you came along and saw him?
But no. But the way how these fellas coming out and saying that you should move at this kind of time, and I think the only pressure this government to move it, right?
When you came along, they were riding donkey carts on Broad Street.
Yeah, they were riding donkey carts on Broad Street.
Yeah, when you came along.
Man, they still riding donkey cart.
I haven't seen one in a long time.
You haven't seen none, but I've had the people see some.
Right. So the point I'm making, sir, is that your reason for defending Nelson's presence.
I ain't defending Nelson at all.
Right, but you're saying that you came along and found him so he could stay. And I'm just asking if everything you came along and found is worthy of remaining.
I just said no wrong in Nelson remaining because he was there for a long time.
Fair enough.
And
so that's all it takes. Once it was there, it should stay.
But you want him off?
Of course.
Why you want him off?
Of course, because he's offensive to me. I see no reason why he should be celebrated in that location in Barbados. I know, but that's not the point. My point is that your support is reliant on whether he was there before. My support is reliant on the reason for which he was placed and the reason for which he's celebrated currently.
Where should he be placed?
Sorry?
Where should he be placed?
Where should he be placed?
Where should the movie go now?
Museum is my proposal.
I hear Gabby and all that coming up talking about what you should do. Gabby is one of the fellas I think.
Fair enough, sir. All right.
I posted the man.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for calling, sir. We take a break and come right back.